That's outstanding. Like a farmer in his field.
What we're really talking about is the ontological nature of indirect sales.
I gotta think up some more big words like portmanteau and harbinger.
We're really not talking about selling a product, but an idea.
Carry on, James. Carry on. All right. It's time for another edition of the Channel Futures Podcast, Coffee with Craig and James. I am the Craig in that equation, editorial director Craig Galbraith. Joining me, as always, our senior news editor,
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. James Anderson. James, it's been a while. How are you?
Craig, life is good. Always a joy to be in that equation with you, doing my part, trying to carry the one. I'm all right, Craig. I will say I've been under the weather. Today's a lot better than yesterday. We pushed back our recording because I was ill. How are you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we're both kind of dealing with similar stuff. I think yours is more of a cold and mine's on the allergies. I actually had a couple of days last week where I considered taking the day off. It was so bad, but you know, I didn't want the train to be chugging along without me. So here we are. I still hear it a little in our voices, but we're going to plug away and get through this.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, it's, we sound a little more methodical now.
Ah, the voices get even deeper. We take a little more time between words. I like it. More intelligent, more methodical.
We've been through an experience. It shaped us. And here we are, ready to talk about it.
Well, and you've had a bit of a tough road this year, right? I mean, you've been sick a couple of times. It just sort of seems to be blending into each other.
I mean, maybe it's just like moving to a new environment and like a new city, and I just have so many allergies. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what it is. But or maybe I just complain a lot when I do get sick, and everyone else is always getting sick, and I just complain more.
That could be. Everybody could feel as bad as you, but they don't talk about it all the time.
Right. we're also, I mean, we're all carrying around that post-show malaise a little bit, you know.
Yes. We recover. It takes a little bit of time to recover from being up so late during the Channel Partners Conference and Expo, getting to all those networking events, working hard during the day. It was a big production. What was maybe one of your highlights from the big show, which is, it's been almost a month now. It's that post-show malaise might be what we can blame for us not doing a podcast in a while.
But let's
for anyone who wasn't there or even remembers that it was a whole month ago, what was one of your highlights, you know, either personally or business-wise?
Craig, I would say my personal highlight was, I think it was Monday night, you and I were ducking and weaving through like four different networking events, and like we were in like total hobnob turbo mode, and and we were going, man. And I felt like we were a mix of socialization, but we were also like making some, we were making a big networking gallery for our website. And we were just like, we were going. I felt like, and we were kind of tag teaming, not just like in the podcast on stage, but we were just rolling through. Personally, yeah, I went to In-N-Out Burger with some chums also Tuesday night. That was fun. I just had fries, but had our colleague Moshe Buford try his first In-N-Out Burger. He didn't really like it, but it was good watching it.
A lot of your highlights were around food and beverage, it sounds like, and you know, overall just meeting up with some of the peeps. That's good.
Yeah, that's on the personal side. Business side, like I felt good about the content that we produced both on stage and on our website. Like for me personally, it was exciting to break some news about ScanSource and then go and do a follow-up interview on stage. It felt like, for me at least, from an editorial perspective, perfect timing. And that was fun to kind of, I shouldn't say fun, but it was, yeah, it was fun to like be at a show and then trying to like uncover news, because instead of like emailing people, I just run from networking reception to networking reception and get people's and interview people there. So that was fun.
That certainly makes it easier.
It does. Now, Craig, tell me about your highlights.
Well, some of the same. You know, it's for anyone in our audience who's seen you bob and weave out of various events, it's a spectacle. You've become one of the most popular figures in the technology advisor space, if you will. Yeah, don't look at me all doe-eyed. You know it's true. People are coming up to you, giving you scoops, and it's fun to watch, honestly, because you know some of these guys even better than I do over your course of now quite a number of years in the channel. So that was fun. Yeah, well, you're right. We had a number of networking events that night. Regarding the business, quite a bit the same. Our content was so good this year. It's just gotten better every year, and having some of the big names that we had on stage. We got Google Cloud on stage for the first time. We had a high-ranking member of T-Mobile for Business up on stage for a one-on-one interview. We had a number of those new segments, these newsmaker segments, where we got folks up there for one-on-ones. It was a very fast-paced keynote sessions. I think people enjoyed that. So I would just say the content and the pacing of the content, it actually made you and me run around a little more even than we usually do, because we had more speakers, and that required more work for us to get on stage and introduce them and talk to them and so forth. So overall, just business and personally, it was a fantastic time. So I look forward to the next.
Well, yeah, like I remember we were doing the TA 101 awards ceremony together. We were, one of us was going on, the other one was going off, and they were coming back on together, and like, oh, they're playing a video, so we'll go hide in the background, and then we would stay on stage. And yeah, so like moving parts, but fun.
We're a good tandem.
Absolutely. Who are you? Are you the one that is steering?
Oh, like a tandem bicycle?
Yeah.
Probably not. So here's a funny story, as long as we're bicycles.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So my wife got one of these adult tricycles for her birthday this past week. It's pretty cool. I don't know if you've seen these. I mean, they're like a bicycle, but they're kind of like a beach cruiser with the two tires in back. And she's got baskets on the front and back. And actually, one of the dogs would probably fit in there if she was ever brave enough to take one of the dogs for a ride. But this bike came supposedly 80% assembled in the mail. And let me tell you, it was not. We spent all weekend working on that thing. And we almost got it done, but we've got a couple little pieces that aren't complete yet, and I'm not sure. We may have to call in some bicycle assembly expertise on this to make sure she doesn't just get on the bike the first time, roll down the hill, and crash because she has no brakes.
That's how
we spent my weekend.
But even then, the bicycle mechanics show up, and they're examining this strange craft, and they're like, I'm not familiar with this. This isn't from this world. There's too many wheels on this. I can't help you.
Well, it works similarly in terms of, at least from what I can tell, and how the brakes are set up and the rest of the bicycle tour. I think anyone who had any expertise in bicycles, which we do not, would in fact be able to get the last 10% of this tricycle put together. But it's a beast, and I am not afraid to admit that I am not very inclined mechanically when it comes to this sort of thing. So when we pulled out all the pieces, I was pretty scared, and it didn't get any better from there.
Hey, I respect you asking for help. I know the time when I was house sitting and I broke their treadmill from running too fast. Like that was a real scary experience, and it's always like a tendency to just try to just fix it yourself. And I know it was a real relief when I just called the treadmill repair people, and they took care of that for me.
And did you drop that in the part in about you running too fast as the reason? Was that like, ooh, look at me, I'm James. I run too fast, I break stuff.
It's
Whereas me, I'm just a doofus who can't put the bicycle together. But
well,
you, I'm moving too fast, I'm James.
so the reality is I was shifting too fast. I was shifting too fast to the higher steepness. So who knows how I would have performed?
Oh, wait. So you were not only running too fast, you were running too fast uphill.
Yes. And I made
Wow.
the mistake of like going beep, 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 like I didn't give it time to shift up. And it was like I'm done. Who knows if I would have gone fast on the super steep incline? Probably not. I wasn't thinking. But I
Yeah.
broke a treadmill.
Well, these things happen. These things happen. But I'm glad at least you could show off your athletic prowess when you were doing that, unlike me.
Oh, it's all we can do.
All right. So let's get back to a topic you brought up earlier, was the ScanSource IntelliSys news that broke at our show. I would probably say that you broke that just sort of as the keynote was beginning. So why don't you talk a little bit about that and set that up, big interview we've got coming up here.
Yeah, so all due disclosure, this was news that Mike Bauer, the CEO of ScanSource, had announced maybe even a month prior at ScanSource's President's Club with their agents, Intellisys, which is owned by ScanSource, their President's Club. So ScanSource, the parent company of the services distributor Intellisys, is launching an entirely new entity, which is going to be a customer-facing agency, operating in the model that the agents of Intellisys would also operate in. But this will be an agency that will be exclusive to Intellisys, and it will be based off a company or companies that this company, NewCo, acquires. And so there was a lot of going into channel partners, a lot of like uncertainty as to what's going on. And then going out of channel partners, this announcement that, a sister company of Intellisys would be selling directly to end users, it definitely sparked conversation. It sparked a lot of marketing messages from the other TSDs who would say, "We don't do this. We don't talk to end users." And then other TSDs saying those TSDs are selling to end users, and a lot of intrigue, but also like hullabaloo, basically. So many of the TSDs have done their own little town halls following this and clarified it a little bit, kind of demystified it, kind of desensationalized it, to be honest with you. Because most of these plans aren't, NewCo doesn't technically exist yet. It's not going to exist until ScanSource acquires somebody. But that's the main gist of it, Craig.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. I think the internet was just about broken with some of the people who came to read your stories about it and then started posting on social. Definitely interesting a topic in terms of the channel conflict. So I know we our guests here are going to talk a little bit about that. Why don't you set that up? And I will say that this interview did land last week in between when you weren't feeling too bad, and when I could not go 10 seconds without sneezing or blowing my nose. That is why you will be handling this solo. So set that up.
And we missed you, Craig. So we brought on, wanted to talk to someone who was a partner of Intellisys to get their perspective. So we've got Tricia Ward on there. She leads Onward Communications, very, very accomplished partner within this Intellisys ecosystem. And then Kerry Tangler, who folks will know from his time working in Comcast Businesses channel program, and now he is leading a consultancy that helps different vendors navigate this channel. Channel Acuity is the name of the consultancy. So they came on and we chatted about what they think about NewCo with their unique lenses.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. So with Tricia on the podcast, I guess there's nothing else to say but upward and onward.
I love it, Craig.
Roll that bit.
Hey, everyone. I'm pretty excited to have this conversation today. Carrie, Tricia, welcome to the podcast. How are you both doing today?
Thank you,
James. I'm doing great.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting us.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. I know you both are pretty closely connected to this topic and two sort of channel OGs here. Do you mind explaining a little bit about where you're currently working and how that, like what your proximity to Intellisys and ScanSource is?
Sure, I can get started. I've been an Intellisys partner since 2002. And my proximity to Intellisys is I was their first platinum partner. So I have a long tenure with Intellisys and now with ScanSource.
I'm currently the founder and managing director of a consultancy called Channel Acuity. We primarily work with early stage technology and telecommunications companies that are looking to establish a channel presence or expand their channel presence. And so my history with Intellisys goes way back a number of years, beginning with Level 3 back in about 2008. And then more recently, I managed the TSD portfolio for Comcast Business for about 11 years. So pretty familiar with both Intellisys and Tricia's company, as well as the other TSDs.
That's fantastic. Now I want to dive into this NewCo news. Again, we gave a little bit of a primer before we brought you on about what exactly happened. I think for a lot of partners, the why question is really big. As you've been, you know, speaking to your sources and your connections within ScanSource, is there a why to the formation of NewCo that is really that you think is the most sort of significant why for why this is going on?
Well, from my perspective, I think once PE, there's two things I want to preface it with. I think that once private equity money came into the channel, there was a forced maturity of the channel. And so I think that as those dollars came into the channel, we started seeing a lot of roll-up of bases. And I think when ScanSource first bought Intellisys, I honestly think they were originally the catalyst for that kind of ability to see that the channel had a great worth to the community. And so I think that one thing I appreciate is that ScanSource is reacting. They sat back a little bit, waited to see what happened, and now they're reacting to where the market is going. The other thing I think in terms of, so I think that essentially is the why. I think the market is demanding to some degree that, you know, private equity is here, you can't ignore it. You can either put your head in the sand or you can become in some ways part of that. And then secondly, I think one thing I appreciate is that ScanSource has been very upfront about what their intentions are with NewCo. You know, they intend on creating NewCo and then keeping ScanSource as a firewall in between Intellisys and NewCo, if you will, protecting the data, protecting the information on RPM, protecting your contract information. So I think they're the why, I think it's the why, and then I think it's their response to the why. They're handling it, I think, very professionally and very responsibly. That's my take on it.
What are your thoughts, Carrie?
Yeah, I think from the why question, I can speculate on a couple of things. And I guess I'll point to the private equity issue that Tricia just brought up. My sense is, as you start to see these roll-ups of companies like Blue Wave, Upstack, Amplix, and any number of the others, my guess is there is a lot of trepidation on the part of both ScanSource as well as the other TSDs about what that means from a supplier relationship standpoint. So historically, most of the carriers, the cable cos, the bigger UCAS, CCAS players have put their focus on the TSDs and not really done a lot of direct contracting with selling partners or trusted advisors. And I think that landscape is threatened as you look at those companies that I just referenced, because they will all have kind of the breadth of coverage and the financial resources to contract directly with the larger suppliers. So you could see that as some share shift away from the traditional TSDs to these super agents. I think, you know, the other thing that I'm guessing is kind of weighing on ScanSource in this regard is that over the last, call it, I'm going to say 5 to 7 years, there has been increasing competition in terms of the pass-through that the TSDs are kind of required to pay to keep the big agents happy and keep them on board. And I'm just going to guess that that puts some margin pressure on the bottom line that, you know, is increasing and doesn't seem to be going away. So by virtue of, you know, getting more into the TA space or the trusted advisor space, Intellisys has a little bit of an offset towards some of that margin pressure.
That's been an interesting side of it, that pass-through side, because Mike, you know, I hear Mike Bauer talking about that particular challenge with the pass-through. I don't necessarily hear him connecting that to the formation of NewCo, but it does sound like that's kind of underlying that you're trying to create a predictable revenue stream, and that you don't always have to explain to the shareholders, well, here's what's going on is XYZ TSDs are making us compete on price. I mean, Tricia, from your perspective, what do you see in terms of this pass-through game that's been happening in the market? How might you describe what you see happening and what sort of impact does that have?
Yeah, I think Carrie has a very interesting take on it. I think there is definitely both margin and commission compression, if you will. I think that you have a situation where, and I agree, I don't necessarily link the two to NewCo, but I think you have a situation where you've got agents that are rolling up their bases and in many cases have demanded a very high commission, either along the way or as in the course of rolling up the base to a private equity controlled firm, if you will. And then you also have, at the same time, these companies. I will say that I don't think that rolling up a base is innovative. I think what the difference is you've got to have companies now that can actually execute on their strategy of, we've rolled up the base, now what do we do with this base? How do we grow it? How do we get a return on our investment? And I think to some degree, the margin compression issue and the commission compression issue doesn't necessarily allow for those companies to create innovation within their company, to go out and buy tools, to go out and create tools for growth, to go out and hire top talent, top engineering talent, top, you know, digital tools, if you will. And so I think that what I appreciate about what ScanSource is trying to do is their approach is, hey, we're going to build out the talent. We're going to build out the tools. We're not just rolling up bases. That's not what they're trying to do. I think what they're trying to do is address the market, and we're going to get the tools, we're going to get the talent, and then we're going to have this engine for growth. And we're going to allow our existing partners to participate, and they're going to allow, obviously, new people to come into the channel and participate in that. So I think what they're doing is they're really changing the picture of what the future, I don't even know if I'd call it a TSD at that point, but super agent, I'll use Carrie's word, what the super agency should and can look like to be sustainable in the long run. And I think that's really good for the channel.
Good. Go ahead, Carrie.
Yeah, James, I would agree with that. I think when we spoke a few weeks ago, I made the point, you know, the focus was, when Mike made that original announcement, the focus was more on the NewCo piece of it. But I think he also articulated a real crying need in the channel. And that is, you know, talking about more frictionless commerce, talking about the TEM capability that he hopes to bring to the table with this NewCo. as well as the notion that you know, I think his perception is that these super agents aren't yet adding a lot of value at the end user level, that it's more just kind of an aggregation of logos at this point than providing any significant value add at the end user level. And so I think he's spot on in that regard. And I know that, you know, a number of the TSDs are putting a focus on that, you know, from the standpoint of how do they better enable the selling partner, the trusted advisor to deliver that end user value. And so, you know, if indeed they're able to do that and you know, move the needle in an appreciable fashion there, then more power to them in that regard.
Yeah. Carrie, I have a question for you. How do you think the suppliers view what Mike is trying to do with NewCo? Why would the suppliers get behind that, where they're trying to create a catalyst for real growth in the channel and going up market?
I'll tackle that in two parts, Tricia. I think it's a great question. I think the response from the supplier community so far has been pretty passive. I haven't seen a lot of them come out and express any real concern because, you know, candidly, if Intellisys alienates a bunch of selling partners and they move their business to an Avant or a Telaris, most of the big suppliers have got relationships with multiple TSDs. And so it's a little bit more of a share shift, you know, left pocket, right pocket kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So they're taking a wait and see attitude, I guess is the best way to characterize it for the big suppliers that have got multiple TSDs in their portfolio. I think the smaller ones probably have some more concerns about that, because if Telaris is the main horse that they're riding and they see a bunch of share shift to others, that's more of a concern. But I think for the most part, it's kind of a wait and see. I think the other thing too is there's been a lot of, I don't want to call it outrage, but a lot of commentary from many of the selling partners about you know, how some of the other TSDs are also doing the same thing. And I mean, let's face it, Intellisys years ago had what they called the Bank of Intellisys, where they made investments in partners. So this kind of stuff has been going on for a long, long time. And I think this is just kind of a new flavor of it. So I think, you know, again, from the supplier community, what I'm hearing mostly is let's wait and see. And I think to your next part of your question, which was really around, you know, kind of what are they doing to add value? I think the vast majority of the suppliers are really looking to figure out ways that they can add more value at the selling partner level. So let me just kind of characterize it simply: less focus on the big, you know, the big blowout events and kind of the marketing oriented things, and putting more focus on partner education and moving up market. You know, that just seems to be a trend with most of the suppliers that I'm talking to right now, is they're looking for partners that can kind of move up market, deal with the bigger, you know, kind of less, I would call it transactional
business. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's what, and James, I don't want to take all your questions away, but I think that's one thing that I see as the greatest opportunity for NewCo, is that I think they're creating an agency for the future where the emphasis is on tools, as I mentioned earlier, digital, maybe digital contract tools, maybe some back office support tools that aren't in place today, the 10 piece that Carrie referenced earlier that Mike has mentioned in the past, and also attracting the right talent and I'll add training. I guess I'll call it the three T's, right? Tools, talent, training. The ability to have that be self-funded by ScanSource, at least to the degree that I understand. ScanSource isn't going out and getting PE money to do this. They're using their own money to invest in this. They can, and then trying to kind of keep a lid on commission, compression, if you will. I think what they'll have left at the end of the day is the dollars to be able to invest in training, in certifications. I think they pull the whole channel up by doing that. I think when you have the right tools in place and then you put an emphasis on training and professionalism, now you're lifting the channel. And as an Intellisys agent, I hope to benefit from that. And Mike has given every indication that as they invest in tools over at NewCo, those tools will eventually be made available to the Intellisys partners. So I see this NewCo as a way of lifting everybody up in the channel including the expectation that suppliers should have, in my opinion, for certification, for training, as Carrie mentioned, for people moving up market, for people growing their network, transactional business into a more cloud-focused, security-focused practice. So to me, it's exciting. It's because of PE money, maybe, like I said, the maturity has made this possible now in terms of maybe 5 years from now. But I, for one, am very happy to see it.
So there was one really interesting part of Mike's town hall where he brings up the topic of lead generation, in that, you know, if NewCo runs into a customer, finds out that an Intellisys agent is selling to it or even has sold to it, that they are going to reach out to that agent, and potentially in the case of a cross-sell opportunity, that's a nudge for the partner to return to that customer and sell. Not necessarily that NewCo is finding new logos and passing them on to agents, but there's some sort of lead that's being passed on. It's interesting because the topic of lead gen has been raised by many agents. I mean, frankly, many of them are asking their suppliers to bring them leads, but I've also heard many of them say to me, like, if a TSD could bring me leads, they'd have my loyalty. But that's interesting because at the same time, for a TSD to get leads, that means they have to be talking to end customers, and that's blasphemy.
Well, I don't see it that way. So here's what I'll change that. I don't necessarily think that Mike is saying, hey, we're going to go out and find leads. I think what he's saying, and he's been very overt, He says that if we go into an account as NewCo, I should say as NewCo goes into an account and they see that an Intellisys partner has sold to them in the past, is positioned with them, that they will defer the compensation back to the original Intellisys agent. That's all well and good. And if that happens, that's wonderful. I would say as an Intellisys partner, you better be well positioned with your customers in the first place. You shouldn't expect anything for free.
Yeah.
But the part that's really intriguing to me is that I believe there's going to be an opportunity instead of lead gen, I think there's going to be an opportunity for co-selling or cross-selling, where maybe there could be some more experienced salespeople at NewCo or engineering talent or whatever you want to call them, SMEs, whatever, that would enable me as an Intellisys agent who maybe is not selling security or not selling a particular product to now bring that group in and go in and cross sell or upsell to a client that may be in my base today and I just haven't gotten traction with. I think that's the more exciting part of the opportunity. I don't expect NewCo to send me leads, in all honesty. I don't think that's what they're focused on.
Yeah, I mean, amen to that, Tricia. I can tell you that from a supplier standpoint, that is an enormous hot button issue. I mean, first of all, lead gen in the B2B space is hard. It is really hard. It's usually fairly expensive. And most of the large suppliers will view it from the standpoint of, if I'm spending my corporate marketing money, I'm going to generate leads for my direct team, not for a partner. That's the value that the partner brings in, you know, in the eyes of most big suppliers. So there's a little bit of a kind of a church and state separation there when it comes to, you know, spending money on lead gen within the larger suppliers. I think Tricia hit on something really critical, though, and that's this notion of co-selling. And I think, you know, to kind of reference something else that I think is kind of out in the community, Jay McBain is kind of keen on talking about the fact that most enterprise deals go down and there are something like six sort of trusted advisors, consultants, or influencers in that decision. And that in and of itself kind of implies that co-selling is really a critical piece, because it's just not typical that a single selling partner, trusted advisor, is going to go in and kind of own an overall corporate relationship. So I think the notion of the suppliers and the trusted advisor community kind of coming together and doing more co-selling is also very much on the top of the radar from most of the suppliers, as well as the TSDs looking to try and facilitate that.
Not to mention the number of stakeholders now in any one deal, where me as just an agent can't go in and meet with all the stakeholders. That deal would take so long to close. So the prospect of having some talent come in and help me to do that, and being able to know that ScanSource is going to work out the commission issues, should there be any, and that they're the firewall in between keeping everybody honest on the deal. To me, that's compelling.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the space, right? The flexibility for collaboration. And it seems like many agents have been doing this for years, maybe with a few folks that have a specialty that they don't have. It's a cool thing. And but knowing that there's a lot more market share available. Mike, I thought this was interesting on the call. Mike said he thinks the TAM for the addressable TAM for Intellisys, in terms of end user billings from the vendor, is between 200 billion and 400 billion. And Intellisys is currently at about 2.5. There's some wiggle room there, but yeah, what do you think about that?
That's an incredible number. I mean, that's upside. An exciting number. Yeah.
Yeah. Good upside.
Exactly. You mentioned the why, and hopefully at the end of the day, the why is better addressing the end user client, better creating better tools, making sure that the channel's driving, top talent, making sure that our skills are honed, making sure that we can out-compete in selling against any direct channel. So I think firms, Carrie mentioned earlier, there are a few firms that I think are building organizations that are sustainable, that are putting the emphasis on innovative tools and bringing on top talent, that I think definitely makes the whole channel better. When Mike first made the announcement, and he prefaced it by saying, hey, we always told you we'd never sell against you. And by the way, if you have any better ideas, I would like to hear about them. But ultimately, when they decided to pursue NewCo, everybody was worried about, oh my gosh, now we have to compete against, NewCo. Well, we are competing against other agents, other TSDs, direct people all the time. I think that notion has to go out the window, because sales is competition. And ScanSource is a responsible company. They're going to do the right thing. They're going to make sure that they're a firewall in between Intellisys and NewCo. And I don't think anybody has to worry about competition, data leakage, any of that. So I hope that if anything else that in this podcast, we can dispel the concern that NewCo is going to somehow threaten Intellisys agents. I see nothing but an upside here for Intellisys agents. And quite honestly, anybody else who wants to join and become part of NewCo.
And part of the, go ahead, Carrie.
I was going to add, I think, I hope Trish is correct. I know that there's been a lot of, like I said before, commentary. I won't prep or won't characterize it as outrage. That's one of the good things about the channel, let's face it, is there's choice. If a partner is reluctant to engage further with Intellisys because of this NewCo, they've got alternatives out there. I think there's a lot of nuance, though. It's not a binary issue where, you can look at one, you could look at Intellisys and say, well, they're going to be competing with me, so I can't do business with them. I think there's a lot of shades of gray in there. The reality is this will kind of play out. I think they've done a really good job of maintaining that firewall between, say, the RPM clients that they've got and the Intellisys side of the business. So I think there's a history with Intellisys of kind of maintaining that separation. And, I think that's a that's a good foundation to start from. You know, time will tell whether that becomes more of a competitive threat. But again, you know, the trusted advisor community has got choices out there. So they will vote with their feet and their dollars, and we'll kind of see how that plays out.
Yeah. And as, I mean, what's kind of interesting here is amid all this commentary, ScanSource is still sort of building the plane. It's like there's not, like NewCo doesn't exist. It will exist when there is an acquisition. Yeah. Do you have any advice for ScanSource as they are doing this search? Like, what should they be thinking about?
So I think what they should do is, one, listen to their trusted community of partners and their suppliers who they have great relationships with. As you said, they haven't built it yet. I don't think I get the impression that they're not starting up with just doing base roles. I think what they're going to start doing is they're going to start with creating the foundation, getting the management in place, maybe getting some tools in place, whether that's digital contract tool, whether it's TEM. I think they build the foundation around that principle, tools, talent. Forgot what the other T was, but whatever, whatever I said earlier.
Training.
and then they start attracting their agents to that. I think that's going to be more successful in the long run because they're touting innovation. If they start with the innovation piece first and they build the company, then I think that they'll get the right agencies to become a part of it. I don't think they should start with just doing base roles. I don't believe they will.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would echo that. Continue making the investment, over communicate about how you are not competing with the broad partner community, and move those tools into the broader base of Intellisys partners as quickly as possible so that they can begin, you know, kind of adding that value to the broad sales community rather than just the new co-partners. So pretty simple equation for them. And you know, I'm going to be anxious to see how well they execute.
Yeah,
awesome.
I would agree.
Any final comments or advice for maybe the folks, your respective peers, you know, Carrie, for the suppliers you consult with, and Tricia, for your fellow Intellisys partners?
From my perspective, I think people should continue to share their feedback, be vocal, push for transparency. Where they can be constructive, I hope that they will be. As Carrie mentioned, people have choices. And that's from my perspective. And then from ScanSource's perspective, I hope that they will continue to seek feedback. I hope that they'll look long and hard at what they're building and make sure that it is both sustainable and that it elevates the entire channel community. That would be my hope.
From a supplier standpoint, quite simply, Intellisys ScanSource team needs to continue demonstrating the value that they bring as a TSD. And by that, I mean demonstrating to the suppliers that their commissions, their MDF, their bonus dollars, their SPIF money is being well spent and is generating ROI, and not just share shift.
That's great. Carrie, Tricia, thanks so much for the time today. I really enjoyed it. Thought this was very insightful. So thank you for sharing the different angles you both have on this.
Yeah, thanks for having us, James.
Ah, Craig, we missed you. It was nice bringing, you were on the call with them before we started doing the panel. So
I was, yeah.
I'm happy they got to see you and chit chat. See your face. I know we missed you out there.
Well, I miss being there, but you had a fantastic conversation with them, and I certainly learned a lot after reading your stories on the issue. And as you've said, time has passed a little bit now, a little bit of time, a month or so since this announcement formally came out, not to mention the time in between the President's Club. You mentioned when it was first sort of dropped out there. So I think there have been a lot of, Tricia seemed pretty bullish on it. She didn't seem overly concerned. So that was nice. But there will continue to be some concerns out there until this thing really gets off the ground and find out if ScanSource slash Intelisys can sort of follow through with its I don't want to say promises, but assurances that essentially there isn't going to be the competition that maybe was originally felt based on the initial announcement.
Yeah, that's very well said, Craig. And you could look at this issue from a variety of angles. And I think that's what makes it so fun for people to talk about, is because Mike Bauer basically went on stage and what was very transparent about his plans. And that can open up the door for people to make a lot of moral judgments or be very afraid. But it started the conversation in a very big way. We were honored to be able to write about that topic. But yeah, I don't know. I think some of these conversations are good for this industry to have, and good for them to have out loud in the public. And the more we can try to be nuanced about it, I think the better it will all be.
Well, and one of those concerns, I think, or the way they were trying to quell concerns was this whole discussion of the RPM Telco acquisition from a few years ago. Isn't that right? How there really didn't prove to be conflict with that, despite some of the other TSDs using it. Can you sort of describe that a little bit?
Yeah. So this is before my time, before I was covering the space, but people were really worried that ScanSource had bought, after buying Intelisys, it bought RPM, which is the commission system that the vendors and the TSDs use to transfer these commissions, and fear that Intelisys would look into that data and go and steal agents and customers, and it just didn't happen. And we've even had other TSDs tell us, like, things are fine, like nothing bad happened. So you get this interesting reminder, like, because I haven't been in the space very long, but folks that have been in the space longer will tell me, like, yeah, something like this happened 10 years ago. Oh, something like this happened 20 years ago. And we have these very short memories. And so that's fun and interesting and enlightening to get that historical context. Like, for the headline, yeah, I mean, it's the news ScanSource makes a direct agency. That's naturally going to create questions, but
Yeah.
yeah.
But these agents have been dealing with competition for years, right? Even if it does prove to be a little bit competitive, I'm sure they'll come through with flying colors, no problem.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Craig.
Yeah. All right, James. Good discussion today about ScanSource NewCo. I enjoyed that. If you'd like to check out the archive of Coffee with Craig and James, you can go just about anywhere you get your podcasts, particularly if you're just listening to the audio version of this podcast. But of course, we hope you check us out on video. We house these on Vimeo.com. And of course, we'd love it if you checked us out on.
Our flagship news site.
ChannelFutures.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope to catch you again next time.
Take care, everyone, and make sure you are just make sure you're making sure.
Good advice.